You know, I keep trying to remember to say hi to one another, or turn around and greet somebody or something like that. I never say that, and I just tell everybody to sit down, and everybody does. And here we all here in this quiet room. Nobody said hi to each other yet, unless we saw them when they came in. If you guys want to take a second, say hi, turn around. Hi to you guys. All right, now we're family. Now we're the body of Christ, right? Because we all said hi. Hi. All right, so tonight, you guys, last week we finished off an awesome chapter in Hebrews. Tonight we're just gonna crack the surface of chapter 12, just coming out of the Hall of Faith. Had an awesome time there, and this chapter, picking up in verse 1, takes off right where chapter 11 left off. So we have the therefore in verse 1, bringing us back to the previous chapter, bringing us back to the previous point that the author had made. We start with the therefore. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So the therefore, again, is pointing back. See, it's easy if we take this verse out of context. There's a lot of explanations about who this is talking about. But because the author put that therefore, the guys who broke up the chapters and verses and all that stuff knew that this was basically going to be a good point to start a new point, but not losing track of where we just came from. So we just talked about all these pillars of faith in the Hall of Faith. In chapter 11, we read about the martyrs, we read about the prophets, we read about those who had already completed their race. So Paul is, I said Paul, the author, whom I believe to be Paul, the author is now making a point in bringing us to where they left off, bringing us into the gap there. Okay, so it's great that all these awesome men of faith walked before us. We have the record of it in the Old Testament, throughout our Bible, even in secular history of these people that are mentioned here. But, you know, they're not just stories. You know, I think too many people think that the Bible is just a bunch of good stories and happy thoughts, and it's supposed to encourage us and all. But really, it's an example for us in our lives, not just how we should react when somebody's mean to us, but how we should wake up tomorrow, how we should go to bed tomorrow night, how we should interact with everybody, that our lives need to be defined by the same faith that these guys' lives were defined by. They lived their lives as normal people, right? I mean, we know that Abraham messed up. He did a lot of lame things, much like we've done a lot of lame things. But his life was defined by those moments in time where things could have gone completely the other way, where he could have said no, God, and that would have completely changed his story. And yet he didn't. He was faithful, and he said yes, Lord, to everything the Lord asked, including giving up his son. So we have these awesome examples of people that lived these awesome, faithful lives. But again, they're not just stories for us to go, oh, wow, great. They're examples for us to actually partake in, to emulate, to encourage us to do the same. You know, to live our lives completely, wholeheartedly for them. And these guys that are listed in this previous chapter, they're not like radicals. They're not unique. They're supposed to be like us, and we're supposed to be like them. We're all supposed to be radical. We're all supposed to live like our faith is the air that we breathe. That's how we're supposed to live. So that's why these guys are listed, to encourage us. But we also read about the heavenly city whose builder is God. So we remember that these guys were looking forward to something. They weren't just living for happy thoughts and to be nice people. They weren't, you know, looking to be like the smiley guy on the block and like, wow, he's always happy, you know, because happiness only takes you so far. They were looking towards a city that hadn't been seen yet. They were looking for something that was intangible, and yet they lived for it because the Lord promised it. There comes in their faith. They believed the Lord. They believed his promises, and they lived like it was true. So now equally, we need to dig in, we need to hold fast, we need to endure, we need to run our own race. You know, we've got these examples, but now it's kind of our turn. So this term here, so great a cloud of witnesses, this is not a reference to great grandma whatever looking down on us from heaven. This is not like those who have died before us, you know, like David and stuff up in the stands, and they're watching us like, hey, oh, no, turn left. Oh, rats, he did it again. Oh, well, he's doing good. You know, it's not like we're being watched in that sense. Basically, what we have here is this great cloud of witnesses. Well, actually, I don't want to move past that. I don't want to forget that we can't think that these people have nothing better to do in heaven than watch us. That's the bottom line. We're not going to go to heaven and watch the other people racing. We're not going to go up to heaven and like watch the other people doing, you know, their lives and rooting for them or whatever. And that's not what the people who have gone on before us have done. They've gone on to praise God, to love Him with everything that they have, to enjoy the Lord in His true nature. And that's what they're doing. You know, so they've got better things to be doing than watching us. And I'm not saying that to, like, you know, break everybody's hearts and, oh, I really wanted Uncle whatever to see me play my first football game or whatever. You know, that's awesome and stuff. But if your great uncle or whatever is in heaven, you know, praise God. Just be glad that he's praising God up there and, like, loving the Lord, and be envious, you know, because that's what we're looking towards. But basically, what this term is talking about is those who have gone before us, those who have died. These testimonies that we read, they testify of their faith. That's what we're talking about. This cloud of witnesses witnessing to the faithfulness of God, witnessing to the lives that they lived in faith. That's what we're talking about. Basically, we've got these shining examples here that can encourage us, to do the same, to live the same. So that's why the author encourages us in the same verse to lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily ensnares us, and run the race set before us with endurance. So we've heard their testimony of these guys in the last chapter. We've looked into the motivations of their lives, into their hearts. So it's time for us to live by faith. But it's kind of interesting because we're encouraged by the Lord so often in His Word to stand fast, to hold fast. But here, basically, the Lord is encouraging us to run fast. There's times in our lives, you know, when I say there's times in our lives, I'm not talking about there's times in our week. You know, like next week, we'll have ups and downs and stuff. So as I talk about there's times in our lives, I'm talking about over the expanse of years, as you guys have lived for a while, you look back and you can see these different times in your life, these different climates, these different shifts that have happened. You know, we've got times in our lives where the enemy is just pressing in on us, you know, pushing up against us. We've got our shield of faith, but we are getting pushed, we're getting pummeled, we're getting pulled down, you know, when our joy, our happiness, our excitement in the Lord is eclipsed by our problems, by our worries, by our lives, by sin in general. So the Lord is telling us, basically, to not be pushed around, to not be easily blown around, but to stand fast. I mean, he encourages us over and over throughout the Word in 1 Thessalonians 3:8. We're commanded to stand fast in the Lord. That we're to be strong in Him and not in our own strength. You know, much like Samson wasn't strong because he worked out, he was strong because the Lord gave him strength. That's how we're supposed to be. So we've got a good example there. 1 Corinthians 16:13 tells us to stand fast in the faith. And that's not talking about just faith in general. You know, be strong, believe in yourself, believe in whatever. You know, it's in the faith, in your faith in Christ. Philippians 1:27, stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So they're saying stand fast in the gospel. You know, stand fast in that simplicity of the free gift of grace. Galatians 5:1, stand fast in the liberty which Christ has made us free, and don't become entangled again with a yoke of bondage. So we've got these times where we're being pushed, we're being shoved, you can feel tired after these. I'm sure you guys can look at times in your life where you feel like it's been a struggle. It's been an absolute battle, and every inch that was won was hard fought. And every inch that was given away was hard fought. I mean, it's just sometimes there's times of struggle, and that's when we're supposed to stand fast. There are other times when we're trying to stand, when we're weary from the constant pushing and pulling, and not just weighed down by the enemy, but being pulled down by the enemy. There's those times where you feel heavy, where it's all that you can do to hang on. You know, I mean, you're hanging on to the simple truths. You're hanging on to that Jesus loves you. You know, you're hanging on to the fact that the Father does all things for the good of those who love Him. You know, there's times where we are getting blown around and getting smashed and getting just bludgeoned by the enemy. And it's not a matter of us being strong Christians. We're just trying to be Christians at all, you know. And those are the times where the Lord tells us to hold fast. When the winds are blowing, when the waves are crashing, and everything we have in us is going into just hanging on. 1 Corinthians 15 says, verses 1 to 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So this holding fast, hanging on, this is really, really important. According to that verse, it's talking about salvation. It's talking about if you let go, if you give up, it adds that condition there. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 encourages us to hold fast what is good. Because there's a lot of times, I don't know if you guys ever feel this way, but I can feel, tired, I can feel beat down, I can feel worn down, and I don't feel like clinging on to the Lord. I feel like clinging on to the old lifestyle because it's comforting. You know, I feel like having a little rest, so going back to that. I don't know if you guys ever feel that way, but the encouragement here is to do the exact opposite of what is in your human nature. The human nature says, let up a little, ease up a little, and it'll be easier. But that's actually the opposite of what the Lord tells us to do. He says, hold on to the things that are good. And sometimes we need to read that to remember that. You know, sometimes we actually need to see that in His Word, because it's really, really easy to lose focus and to hang on to the things that are comfortable, the things that are enjoyable, the things that we used to find comfort in and we used to find enjoyment in. Hebrews 3:6, but Christ as a son over His own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So that's interesting too, because again, it's not talking about hanging on and doing great for a while. You know, if you do great for a long, long time and you get tired, I understand. The Lord is saying, hold fast to the end. The end. And none of us know when that'll be. I mean, maybe we'll get a break. Maybe you're going through an awesome, awesome, terrible trial, you know, and then you die in the midst of it, you know, and then boom, you know, from out of the frying pan into the fridge, you know, like I was going to say into the fire, but that doesn't make sense. So, you know, you go to heaven and there you go, you know, you're set. There's no more worries, you know, and that's awesome. I look at the martyrs that we talked about in the last chapter. They're getting pounded. They're getting hammered. They're getting, you know, whipped, scourged, tortured, all this stuff, but that's the end. And that's, it, you know, in a sense, that would have been encouraging to them to know that what they're doing to me has a finite end. And as soon as this is over, as soon as it's over, I'm done. And I'm in heaven. I'm in rest. Revelation 2:25, but hold fast what you have till I come. And that is an awesome encouragement, because the Lord isn't saying, hold fast, hold fast, hold fast indefinitely. He's saying, hold fast till I come. That means He's coming. That means He's not going to tarry. That means He's promising that He will come back and He will relieve us. And I like that. I hang on to that. Revelation 3:11, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. And that's the hold fast. That's the encouragement, because there is a crown at the end. And that crowning jewel, I'm not even talking about a gold crown that we can wear on our head. I'm talking about that righteousness, finally, that we can stand before the Lord God and worship Him in spirit and in truth with no flesh in the way. That's the crown. That's the exciting thing, is just being able to be with Jesus Christ, not have to imagine anymore, not have to wonder anymore, but just to be there. These are things worth holding fast to. We're encouraged to hold fast because there's a great reward at the end. We have to look towards that crown. We have to look towards that city that has a builder who is God. We have to look forward to that salvation finally. I mean, you know, this tangible life that we have, this is the extent of our knowledge of life. This is what we think life is. But in all honesty, this isn't reality. This isn't the way things really are. This is just what we perceive to be the way that things are. See, we can't see the spiritual realm. We can't see heaven. We can't see the angels and the demons. We can't see all these things. All we can see is our happy little lives. We have to remember how thin, how fragile life is, how simple it would be for us to be cast into eternity just like that. And that's not a thing for us Christians to fear, because we have that crown. We have that city made by God just right there on the cusp. We're right on the verge. All we have to do is hold fast. There's other times, and this is what the writer here is talking about, when we're not so hounded by the enemy, we're not so blown around by the wind, we're not, the waves aren't crashing on us quite so tough. And I can look at times like that, like as the prosperous times. You know, you've got the times in the wilderness, then you've got the times with the Lord, you know, in the promised land where things are going great. And I'm not saying, you know, friendship with the world and now things are going great because you're not with Christ. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about these different seasons in our lives where things, for some reason, the Lord just blesses us and things just sail. And I love those times, and that's awesome. But the trouble is, at least the trouble that I've had in the past with these times, is that when finally that battle is feels like it's over for a little while, we get a little rest, we get a little, you know, a little relaxation time. That's what we do. We relax. You know, we kick back like, oh, finally, well-earned rest. I fought for a long, hard time. Now I get to just kind of ease up a little bit. I get to just kind of float for a minute. You know, and that's a huge mistake. Now is the not time to relax, not time to recoup from the hard battle. Now is the time for us to run fast. You know, when there's not things in our way, there's not obstacles. I mean, yes, there are, but in those times where you just got that wind on your back and the sun is just, you know, not too hot and it just feel everything is going great, it's time to make some ground. It's time to kick it up a notch. You know, it's not, you know, in the times of prosperity, when we're not praying for every lima bean that we get from the Lord, like, thank you, Lord, for our food. You know, when the Lord is blessing us and our paychecks are huge and our bank account is full and we can just buy whatever you want. You know, you want to go eat at whatever Red Lobster, you go. You know, you want to buy shoes for everybody, you do it. You know, and there's times like that. But we can't forget what that time is for. The Lord isn't comforting us finally at that point to be comfortable. He is comforting us to be comforters. He's giving us rest so that we can run unhindered, so that we can make up some ground, so that we can work for the Lord and do things for the Lord. It's tough to work when you're tired, but it's really easy when you got a lot of energy. You just don't feel like it. You know, that's the trouble. The problem is up here. But that's what the Lord is saying in these times. It's time to forge ahead. It's time to stand fast. It's time to hold fast. But it's time to forge ahead because those times of battle will return. You know, we're suddenly hounded again. You know, we're just dogpiled by the enemy. The waves are crashing. Things are bleak. You know, so in those times, we need to use them. We need to run fast. But he also says that we need to run with endurance the race that is set before us. So this is interesting, too, because talking about holding fast and standing fast, the act of just running is not obedience to the Lord. You know, just doing it on the outward level, just doing seemingly what the Lord wants us to do. Us living for the Lord, us running for the Lord, we have to run with endurance. We have to keep running for the Lord. He's not going to give us brownie points for running halfway and then stopping. You know, because again, we're not talking in a physical sense, we're talking in a spiritual sense. So what is stopping? You know, if we're in a race, and we're going to talk about a little more about this race itself, but if we are in a race, what are you supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be running, right? And if you stop, then you're going to lose, right? Well, in a spiritual sense, what is stopping running? You know, what happens when we stop? Do you just stand there? Because in a sense, we need to look at it we need to up the ante a little bit. We remember, I don't know if you guys remember, but we talked about like the balance beam, like our life of faith is kind of on a balance beam and we need to stay on that. You know, that basically you go a little to the left, a little to the right, and it's all over, it's done. Well, in the same way, standing still in the middle of a battleground will get you killed. You know, so stopping and taking that rest when it's not time for rest, you know, stopping and just being like, you know what, Lord, I'm taking five. That's dangerous. You know, I mean, when you're in the middle of a firefight, and I'm thinking of, you know, the different battles that our troops are involved in right now, when you just stand up and say, hey, guys, time out, I'm done. That will not increase your life expectancy. It will decrease it rapidly because you're easy to pick off. And that's exactly why the enemy does what he does. You know, when you're strong, when you've got your shield up, when you've got your helmet up, you know, when you've got your sword up, and you're ready for it, you know, when you're prepared spiritually for the battle, the enemy has to fight hard. But if you just drop it all and just stand up, just let it happen, all the enemy's got to do is just one little fiery dart, you know. And that's why they're called fiery darts, because they burn and they pierce and they will take you out. That's why we can't stop. I mean, it is a race, but we have to look at it in the proper sense. I mean, I like the illustrations of like the Olympics and different sports that the author uses. But we need to up the ante a little bit. You know, if you stop running, you know, say in Antarctica, you know, you're trying to get back to your shelter or whatever, you slow down, You start getting tired and sleepy. You lay down, you rest, and you freeze to death. We need to realize that there is a consequence to our actions spiritually. That we have to endure. We have to be steadfast. We have to keep going even though we're tired. Even though we're just hanging on by a thread. The Lord tells us to endure because there's great reward for that. Because it's from that that the just live, by faith. You know, it's that faith, that tenacious grip that we have on the Lord that allows us to live in Him. And anything apart from that is not through Him, is not in Him. So this is kind of a slippery slope in that sense. But what I like too is that with endurance, the race that is set before us, the race is set. These aren't just random events that happen in your life that you can bemoan and bewail. You know, the Lord has ordained these things in our lives. These times of trial, these times in the desert, you know, they're a time of purification. They're a time of strengthening that we need. It's a time of chastening, it can be. Or it's just a matter of the way the Lord wanted to do things to uplift you in the end, to glorify His name through you in the end. But I like the fact that it's definitive. The course is set. There's a definite last step in our race, a finish line. We don't have to run indefinitely on a treadmill. We're getting somewhere. We are getting somewhere. And there is an end. And this course that's truly set before us, the Lord is kind of custom tailored for each one of us. You know, so talking about in Psalm 73, you know, that my feet had almost slipped when I looked at the wicked prospering. Skateboards. You know, when we get our eyes off of what we're going through, if we can just recognize what it is that the Lord has custom tailored a trial for us to get through. You know, it's not to torment us, it's to strengthen us. But again, it's not to be tormenting us, keeping us in the oven indefinitely. There is an end to it. The Lord has set this race, set up like a race before us, for us to get through. We can't get bitter in that sense and bemoan our lives and say, oh, the Lord just loves to torment me. That's not true. But He is going to keep ratcheting up the tension until you drop that lousy attitude. The Lord is working in us to get us to an end. He has an end for us, and we should endure because of that. You know, it's not a matter of hang on as long as you can hang on. It's hang on till the end. And that should be encouraging to us. Like Hebrews 10:35-36, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. We want to receive that promise. We want to receive that crown. We want to enter that city whose builder is God. We want to attain those promises. The obstacle before us is not a matter of how much road we have. It's more a matter of how long we're willing to endure. You know, I think of like the Navy SEAL training. It's not a matter of trying to get guys to do things they can't do. It's trying to get guys to believe and do things that they can do. They just don't think they can. And that's the whole business for us. This whole thing, I'd love to say, is a great big mind game. It's not really, but our endurance kind of is. You know, you can endure as long as you want to. Nobody can make you endure longer than you're willing to. Why do we endure? For the prize, for the promise at the end. Is it worth it to endure? Yes, because we'll inherit the prize, the promise at the end. So why don't we endure? What is it that makes us give up? What makes us throw in the towel? What makes me throw in the towel? What makes me give up, you know, on any given day where I just feel tired and I'm just kind of done? Like, Lord, you know what? You haven't done much for me lately. And how quickly I can turn to this carnal idea of, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. The Lord has already done it all. He doesn't have to do anything more. I mean, if we wander through life as beggars begging for bread, unclothed, unsheltered, and we die, we're still ahead. You realize that? We're not going to hell. We believe in the Lord. We trust in His words. And we're going to receive the promise that He has for us. So if He decides to make us like Job and make us watch the destruction of our household, of our checkbook, of everything that could possibly be dear to us? What if he never gave it back? What if he never restored Job? What if he never restores us? What if this is our lot in life? Well, then praise God, because life has an end. And after that, it's over. It's done. And we're with him. We have a finite end. And you know what's awesome about knowing that? Is that the Lord doesn't make us go through life poor and hungry and thirsty and cold. The Lord has given us great things. You know, here in America, I mean, we live like kings. We might not feel like it, you know, because we're not as kingly as, say, our neighbors or the people on TV. You know, wow, that's kingly, you know. But you look at these other third world countries and we are very, very blessed. We're blessed to have indoor plumbing. We're blessed to be able to gather here and not be afraid of the government, what they might do to us for gathering here, for owning one of these, you know, for owning a Bible, for praising the Lord out loud. We're already ahead. And that's my problem. I keep thinking, you know, my mind always jumps to like what I don't have and what I want and what I can't have because I don't have enough of this or that or the other thing. But honestly, this endurance shouldn't be all that tough for me. The Lord has given me a lot. He's given us all a lot. I praise God for the things that he's given me, but I pray that I would be grateful for those things. And I pray the same for you guys. We're all given opportunities. The Lord wants us to live for him. And we can't possibly live for him if we're so busy bemoaning our situation. Hold fast, you guys. Endure. Run this race. That's what the Lord has for us, to run. Nobody gets the escalator. Nobody gets the moving sidewalk. We all have to get to the end on our feet. So we need to endure. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on you, to remain focused on you. Lord, help us to give you the credit that you deserve for all the things that you've done for us, Lord, all the things that we don't deserve. Lord, I pray that we would magnify you in our lives by our actions, Lord, by the way that we live, by the way that we love you. Help us, Father, to hold fast. Help us to stand fast. But Lord, in those good times, help us to run fast, not to waste the opportunities that you give us. Lord, we love you and we bless your name. We're gathered here, Lord, because we love you, because we want to glorify you. We want to make you proud, Lord. We want to make you happy. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be so caught up in our own happiness, but that we truly would live for you, not for ourselves. That every step we take, every breath we take, Lord, would be with a desire to praise you, to bring glory to you. Lord, as we have this time of worship, Lord, and just fellowship with you, as we seek to commune with you, Lord, I pray that this time wouldn't be wasted, Lord. That you'd help us, Lord. Help us to get to that point, Lord, where there's nothing in between us and you. Whether that be our own imaginations, Lord, our desires, Lord, the sins that are in our life that we don't want to give up. Lord, I pray that nothing would stand in between us and you. That we could worship you, Lord. That you would bless us and speak to us. That relationship would be pure, Lord, like it was in Eden, Lord, when they walked with you. Like the relationship with Enoch, Lord, when he walked with you. Lord, that we could truly walk with you and throughout our lives. Lord, we don't want to just crawl through life. We want to be victorious in you through Christ. Change our perspective, Lord. Lord, as we sing, I pray that you would be working in our hearts. That you would speak to us, Lord. We're going to set aside this time to talk to you, to worship you, Lord. But I pray that our ears would be open, Lord, that we could hear you. That we give you time to respond, Lord. That we wouldn't just be talking at you and then getting up and leaving, Lord. That we truly give you the time tonight, as we have time set aside. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to worship you tonight. In Jesus' name.